Hey everyone, and welcome to a very long overdue another episode of Freelance Life. Welcome, Shay. A lot of stuff has changed since we've done the last episode. You are now with child.
Indeed. So. Thanks, Megan. Nice to be back. And definitely too long a hiatus. But you know what? I birthed a child in between, so I don't feel too bad about that. And if anyone's watching on video and is wondering what the strange straitjacket is, it is, in fact, an infant. And straitjacket is an appropriate term, I would say.
I was going to say, keeping your baby in a straitjacket sounds apt.
Exactly. Yeah. More like the baby keeping me in a straitjacket. but all going so, well.
Yeah. Today we're going to be chatting about taking time off work and burnout and everything in between. So this is probably a great place to start the conversation, because when you're a freelancer, chances are when you're not producing, you're not earning, except you, because your book sales, I assume, are still going. Still got some kind of passive income. But at the end of the day, freelancers are still human. We need a break. So, I don't know. Maybe this is a great place to start the conversation. How did you plan for maternity leave? Because you're actually on maternity leave. It's not like you are rocking the baby's cradle with your foot while you're still writing.
No, and I don't even know if anyone is able to continue working to the same degree while you have a newborn. Let me know how you've done it, because that is next level parenting and business owning. But no, so I decided I wanted to take 3 months off, also to just give me the time to, you know, enjoy a different pace of life, which sometimes I enjoy, sometimes drives me mad, but the same can be said of business, I guess. So with anything, and I think, you know, it doesn't have to be maternity leave, but any time that you know you're going to have time off. So, I mean, with maternity leave, you pretty much have 8 months to plan and know that this is going to be happening in 8 months' time. When it comes to holidays and that, generally you're going to plan those a little bit in advance too. So I guess my first piece of advice would to be just communicate with your clients, your suppliers, everyone who you work with. Don't keep people in the dark, because I can only imagine how frustrating it must be to be a client and get a message from one of your freelancers saying, oh, by the way, I'm off for 3 months starting next week, you know? So letting them know early was very important, and then continuing to remind them. So whenever I sent a client invoice, I would just include a little reminder to say, I'm going to be off for the months of May, June, and July kind of thing. And same applies to going on holiday, I think, because, you know, they get that initial email, they might not put it in their calendar, they forget, and we all want to plan around it. So definitely communicating early, saving up. So, I mean, luckily I had 8 months to do it. So making sure that I put some money away so that I wouldn't have to dig too much into other kinds of savings and investments during this time. What else did I do to prepare? Oh, and then finding replacements and helping my clients continue. You want to ensure their business continuity too. So in some cases, I was able to work ahead a bit for some of my smaller clients. So I was able to do my work for May, June, and July ahead of time. Again, that's quite difficult to manage, especially from the client side, because, I mean, as we know, clients like to give you often a day's notice, not 3 months' notice for something they need.
When's the deadline? Yesterday.
Yeah.
My favorite deadline.
It wasn't always feasible, but I did try to do a bit of that. It was also a good reason to get rid of some clients that it was time to get rid of. Also knowing that perhaps I'm not going to have the same capacity even after maternity leave. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to be at my desk a solid 8 hours a day or whatever I need with a little one. So, you know, it also gave me a chance to really look at my client scope and decide, okay, which are the ones that are actually, maybe it's time to let go, and this is a great excuse to do it. And then the other thing is finding a replacement. So I did do that for some of my clients, and I did use people that I know, because then I feel a bit more assured that they know it's a temporary agreement and I'm going to get the business back, because I don't want to hand over to someone, to a random, or perhaps let the client find someone and then they say, come back and say, we don't need you anymore.
We like so the replacement more than you.
Yeah, exactly. Try to find someone who's actually not as good as you so that they're dying to get you back. So I don't know, with holidays and stuff, maybe you want to talk to that.
Yes. You know, I like to plan things way in advance. And I'm actually going, I'm going to be away for 2 weeks now, October. I'm going to visit a client in the Netherlands, and then I'm taking a week to visit my brother who lives in the UK. And so those 2 weeks, as much as you think you're going to take your laptop and you're going to still keep up productivity, like you need to actually be real with yourself. It's not going to happen. History has kind of dictated already that I'm not good at working when I'm not in my own
space. And why should you have to also? Because I feel like everyone needs a break, you know? So if you can manage and make it happen, make it happen. Rather than, because then you've got your laptop in your bag and it's like the guilt factor of thinking, oh, I haven't opened it, I haven't done this. Whereas if you don't take it, it's like gone, forgotten. I can actually have a good time and relax and rejuvenate.
It's kind of like I'm working on a project at the moment, and we had a strat session yesterday, and the strategy lady was moaning because it was her birthday. This whole big strat session or the presentation, should I say, is happening on Friday. She's going to be in the Kruger. And so from 1 until 4 on Friday afternoon, while she's the Kruger, she's going to be on a strat presentation call. So,
depressing.
Like, you know, it's, I know, she's like, do you want to join the call? I'm like, no, I don't. Thanks for the ask. So what I've done now is I have taken, I'm going to be away for 2 weeks. So that is, again, not producing, so not earning. I need to make sure that I have enough savings to cover my salary for those 2 weeks. Mm. Plus, I've got the expense of the travel expenses.
Actual,
you know,
travel,
so so I mean, it's taking on additional work or kind of managing the finances a little bit so that you've got you can still pay yourself at the end of that month. That's what I do. I've kind of in my cash flow Excel spreadsheet, I've worked out how much loss I'm making in that month. And so over the next couple of months, I have to make an extra X amount in order to cover the time that I'm going to be out for 2 weeks.
That is very organized. So, that is a type behavior.
And it's really weird because I'm like not an A type personality at all. Normally I'm like, let's just go with the flow. But, running your own business, whether you see yourself a freelancer as running your own business, that's essentially what you're doing. And you have to be prepared. You have to make sure that you've got savings to see you through. Spontaneous stuff. I don't have the answer to that. I just live with the guilt if I want to take a day off and like
exactly. Or even a lunch out sometimes, you still get the guilt.
yeah. So let's speak about moving away from holiday per se and general life things. I think you do triathlons, if I'm not mistaken. I saw something somewhere along the line.
You're
into triathlons. I do mountain biking. So, you know, you need to kind of carve out time in your schedule to do these things that you enjoy. How do you make time for the things that matter outside of the business?
So I think when you said carve the time on your schedule, literally that's what you need to do and to make it a priority in your day. I mean, I know you're really good about gymming at lunchtime, for example, and that is almost a non-negotiable. No matter what you've got going on, I'm speaking for you, but I know that it is a priority for you, I think. You'll make sure that it happens, and it happens at the same time. So it becomes a habit. It becomes ingrained in your calendar and in your daily practice. And that's just how it is. So for me, I also like to do something similar where either early in the morning or later in the afternoon, it just, you know, for me, I don't like exercising when it's boiling hot anyway. So that's the time that works for me. And you just make it a priority and a non-negotiable, no matter what you've got going on, which obviously is easier said than done, as we know, and we're not perfect and it doesn't always work. But whatever that priority that's most important to you or that you know you need to fit into your day, just do it. And you'll actually be surprised how you'll come back to your desk feeling refreshed and actually more productive than if you just sat at your desk for that extra hour. So, I mean, that's talking about exercise, but, you know, things like family time or, I don't know, working on a personal project. So writing my book, for example, I didn't always feel like sitting down after a day of writing and writing some more, but I just made it a practice. I did it. Even if I wrote 10 words one day and 1,000 words the next day, just using the energy that I had, but making it a habit so that it wasn't something that I could just write off or put down. Another thing that helps me is remembering the bigger picture. So right now, I don't feel like exercising, but how will I feel next week if I didn't exercise all week the prior week? Or how would I feel in 5 years' time if I'd never got around to writing my book? Things like that. Or how would I feel flipping if I'm, well, I guess I'd have no feelings if I was in the ground and dead and all people said was, oh, she worked really hard, you know? So you know. I think reminding yourself of what's important to you and then making non-negotiable time for it. I don't know how it works for you.
So yes, the gym thing, I have a little gym set up in my garage, which is like two kettlebells and a pull-up bar, and I've now got a punching bag because we'll speak about why I bought a punching bag just now. So from 11 to 12 every day, 11 o'clock, I stop working because I'm usually at my desk around 7:15. So that's a good kind of, you know, chunk of time in the morning that I am productive. Mm. And I have to get away from my desk because otherwise my energy just drops off and I'm useless in the afternoon. So 11 o'clock, I know, is my workout time. I don't schedule meetings. I don't schedule interviews. No podcast recordings. I've blocked off the time in my calendar. So, you know, it's there if I need it in an emergency, but I don't like using it. Mm. Even like some days you really just are not in the mood to work out. And then like I go and have a nap. Like sometimes I use that time to go and like chill and read a book or, you know, do whatever, sit outside with a cup of tea. I'm not as good with other stuff, unfortunately. I do 5 o'clock is my cutoff time. I don't work after 5 in the afternoons, but in terms of balancing everything else, my hobby is having hobbies. And I've got so much stuff on my plate that sometimes it's like, it's just a bit overwhelming. And so I don't really know what to schedule where. And so like while I'm organizing the business, like my personal life is not as organized because, like you say, you have to schedule it. And,
because also sometimes, you know, you have seasons. So you might have a season where you really need to focus on your business. You might have a season where you really need to focus on your mental health. You might have a season where it's all up, like mine at the moment is about family. And you can never expect all those different areas of your life to be in balance. Like there's going to be give and take. But as long as you are prioritizing what you feel like you need in that moment, whatever sphere that falls into. And just on the top of my head, something that I wanted to mention about like your gym habit, for example, is also making it as seamless as possible. So you're not having to drive to a gym, spend half an hour or more in transit. And, you know, it's that extra bit of friction that might stop you from doing it. You've made it as seamless as possible. Like all you have to do is walk a couple of steps, your setup's there and you can make it happen. So I think there's also something to be said for making it as easy as possible because we all are lazy and, you know, we built to seek the path of least resistance. So make it as easy as possible for yourself to fit those things in.
100%. I must say working out at home has its pros and cons because I don't see another human like ever.
Yeah.
So I do get lonely. It's nice to, when I used to go to gym, it was nice to go to gym. And even though you didn't speak to people, it was just nice to know that there's other life on the planet, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, now, like you say, it would have taken an extra 15 minutes there, 15 minutes back. That's an extra half an hour I have to carve out of the schedule, which now I don't have to do anymore. So that's fantastic. I know we're speaking about like personal stuff, but I know that you've carved out time for your business as well. You had Tuesdays where you actually worked on your business, not in the business. And do you want to kind of dive into that a little bit? Because that's just as important to carve time out for.
100%. So it took me quite a long time to actually, I used to just pack my day with client work and I'd get it done. But it was always frantic. And I never actually got time to sit back and think about, am I really running this business in the way I want to? Am I living the freelance life that I want to live? So I decided to claim back a day and I made it a full day and I made mine, oh gosh, now I can't remember. It's only been a month.
New mom brain.
So Tuesday, so it's called a Tuesday, but I did it on a Wednesday. That's why I'm confused. So where you schedule no meetings, no client work. Again, not perfect. There were times when I did have to squeeze some client work in. But the idea of having an empty schedule really allows for that innovation, reflection. You know, you can go for a walk and be intentional about thinking about what you want from your business, what you want from your life, and how you can make it happen. And it's amazing how at first trying to take that full day is really challenging because you think, how the hell am I going to fit everything in? But then once you start reflecting, you realize what your priorities are and how you can optimize things so that you don't miss that day at all. And it's not impacting your business because you've structured your business. You've had the time to think about structuring your business better because otherwise it can become a vicious cycle. It's like, I don't have time to think about my business. Therefore, I don't have time to make my business better. Therefore, I don't have time to think about my business. And so it continues. So really taking that time has been instrumental in helping me just live, be more intentional about the way that I live and the way that I run my business, I guess.
That's something that I still need to put into practice. I think about my business and I all the time. Let me just say, when you leave your 9-to-5, no one tells you that you're swapping it for 24/7.
Yeah.
Because I go to bed thinking about like my business and I wake up thinking about business. I'm thinking about my finances all the time, which is not exactly healthy, but you know, personality.
But if you had a time set aside, you could take a notebook, then you write. So let's say you can't sleep at night because you're thinking about something about your business. You take a notepad or whatever, or write on your phone, make a note of it. And then you know you're going to address it on that day. And then once that thought has been filed away, it's a lot easier to rest and relax knowing that, okay, that's cool. I've recorded it. I'm going to deal with it instead of getting into like a overthinking, over fatigue cycle of thought.
Yeah. And it really does become, it starts bogging you down and it clogs your thinking because you're keeping all this stuff in your brain all the time. So I still need to carve the day out. I was supposed to do it like 2 weeks ago and then I got a project in. So as soon as that project's over, then I will have extra time. But that's the plan. We'll...
Yeah, I was going to say, that's bold, bold.
my concern with carving out a day is firstly, it can't be a Monday or Friday because I know myself, I'm going to be very tempted to just be like, I'll just take this one as a long weekend. So it'll have to be a Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday for me. My brain is all over the place all the time. Like I struggle with structured thinking. So I'm worried when I carve a day out that I'm going to sit in front of my computer on that day. And I'm like, then you've got this pressure. Like, shit, I have to think about my business today. What?
Don't do it in front of your computer. Go for a walk or sit in the garden with your cup of tea, you know? Just to, because like you say, because if you're in front of your computer, you're going to open your email, your brain is going to go straight to whatever that email says, and you're going to start thinking about that deadline and start thinking about that project, and then you're ruined. So
yeah.
it's, you have to, and it takes a lot of practice, and I'm not perfect and I'm not that good at it either, but I try to disengage from the day to day so that I can think bigger picture. And to do that, I do often have to actually step away, or, you know, schedule and it's meeting with someone who is not a client, but someone who is going to inspire you, give you ideas or something like that. I find that can also, like, just get you thinking. And it's a good sort of kick in the pants to think, get new ideas, or, you know, have a brainstorm with someone, read something, you know, sit with an inspirational book, like maybe the book that's been sitting on your bedstand forever that you just haven't really got to because it seems a bit like heavy or worky or whatever it is. read a chapter of that. And I mean, I think also starting small, so it doesn't have to be a whole day, even if you start with half the day. For me, that would be the morning because that's when I'm more switched on. Definitely choose the time that you're more switched on. I think that would be my advice for getting started.
Yeah. Now, one of the biggest things in getting started to have a business day or to carve any time out, whether it's for business or personal, is saying no. And I know we've touched on this subject before, but it's something that I struggle with because as soon as I get a quote in, or, you know, especially if you are kind of just starting out as a freelancer, you want to just say yes to everything. So what tactics do you use to say no? Because we actually yesterday had a very brief email conversation about, I got a quote in, I really wanted the client, but I just don't have the time. And I forwarded it to a couple of people, you included, and like literally everyone came back. They're like, we have no capacity. So, you know, it's unfortunately just one of those things. But coming from where I've just come from, I'm in burnout recovery at the moment, and we'll speak about that in a little bit. But I don't want to go back to that place where you're working like all the time, and putting yourself back in that kind of circle of doom that there's nothing else in your life except for work. So saying no, how do you do it?
So I think the reality for me and for a lot of freelancers, and please do as we say, not as we do, but you almost have to get to that point of, oh my gosh, I'm on the brink of burnout, or I'm burning out, I can't do this anymore. And that's kind of how I learned how to say no, was the hard way, to be honest. And now what I do is, and I'm more of a head thinker, not a heart thinker, but I'm learning to start listening to my gut when it comes. So like, for example, the project that you sent through yesterday, oh my gosh, I was tempted. And it was, you know, deadline for the end of next month. So I'm thinking, okay, that could be feasible. I wouldn't mind earning some extra money. But as soon as you'd even said to me, I have a project for you, before I'd seen the scope or anything, my gut was saying, no, Shay, this is not the time for this. And then I read it and I was, you know, it took me a while actually to reply, as you know, because I was thinking about it. It's very hard to convince yourself sometimes that you actually don't have capacity or this isn't right for you right now. But I am learning, and I did it. I said no. I listened to my gut.
Well done.
And then definitely, I'm sorry that I couldn't help you. I am, but I'm proud of me. But there is definitely an element of, if it doesn't feel right, if it's not in your scope, if you have any kind of hesitation, if the client doesn't feel like a good fit, if you feel like you're not getting paid enough, whatever it may be, just lean in and listen before you are quick to say yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're saying yes to a project, you're saying no to literally everything
100%.
Else. You know, so you have to be so careful. And I went back to that, the client as well. And I'm like, I'm really sorry, because the deadline is end of June and you're not able to shift it, I unfortunately don't have capacity. I mean, it's something that I've had to learn to do, is I can say yes, but then the output is going to be really crap because I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to, you know,
give it the time it deserves.
Be invested and give it the time it deserves. Or I'm going to be jumping between projects because I just didn't actually have the capacity. So The guilt, though, like, I'm a people pleaser, and so I always want to say yes. So the guilt saying no is something that I don't know if you ever get used to it, but it's something that I do struggle with when I say no. It's like I feel like I'm letting down like some kind of massive humanitarian effort.
World peace foiled. Absolutely foiled.
Exactly. We're going to collapse into nuclear war now.
It's real. I mean, it's real.
Yeah.
But I think you bring up an important point about, again, looking at the bigger picture. The client deserves the best results. And if you can't give that to them, it's actually not fair to say yes anyway. And, you know, maybe it's not about that client, but maybe your other work and your other clients will suffer. Maybe your family will suffer. Maybe your poor dog won't get walked for like a week, you know? So what are you, like you say, what are you giving up in order to please one, or not even please, because if you're not delivering the best results, you're not going to please them anyway. So
I
agree.
Yeah. Now, you know, delivering the best work, like I mentioned, I'm in burnout recovery. So I've had my business has been going for 6 years now. You take leave and all that kind of thing, but when you're running your own thing, it's always in the back of your head, like the finances and all that kind of thing. When you're responsible for your own income, I mean, it's something that's not very far away from your brain. You're always thinking about it. So 6 years. Did have a bit of leave here and there, all that kind of thing. Towards the end of last year, I was really tired. And then Q1 this year has been terrible from a personal perspective, business perspective. Without going into too many details, I lost my sister-in-law. My car broke down. My mom had a shoulder up, and my dad was traveling, so I had to go and stay and help her, like, do everything from eat to shower because she couldn't do anything herself. And all of this while I was there were a couple of other things as well.
I was gonna say, you forgot the finger injury, the break in.
Yes, yeah, my wife cut like a giant chunk of her finger off. There was an attempted robbery. So you know, there's been all kinds of things going on. And you're dealing with all of that and still trying to cope with a full workload, and plus you're still tired from Q4 2023. So I completely burned out. And it was very, very noticeable in the client work that I was doing, especially for one specific client that was they write for a number of very kind of Ivy League sort of clients. So they consolidate and do the work for a bunch of these kind of high brow clients. And the outputs, I was getting such poor feedback. And eventually, you start like, this is not working. So signs that you are actually burnt out are inability to keep deadlines. It was the first time since I started my business that I was missing deadlines. Poor quality of work. Like a complete disinterest. I lost interest completely in my business. I didn't want to write. But you know, obviously you have to kind of push through because this is now your life. You have to earn money. I ended up at the doctor because I had a complete emotional breakdown and I just like cried for 3 days straight. So like, you know, you don't want to get to that stage. You need to take time out for yourself. So, like I say, I'm in recovery now and prevention is better than cure. So if you are not, or if you are approaching burnout, listen to what we said previously. But if you find yourself in this kind of burnout period or burnout thing that you have to kind of recover from, you need to make some serious changes because you are going to not last long term if you don't. So what I did
what does recovery look like?
So I had to take a good long look at my business, and I actually dropped a very lucrative client because I had overcommitted I was just working too much. And so I had to drop a very lucrative client to make space in my schedule. So what I decided to do was kind of work from 7 to 1 and then spend the afternoon doing whatever, whether that's napping or exercising or watching TV or whatever. And again, those feelings of guilt, because like you should be working, but really I needed it at the time. And I was hoping to have a couple of months where I was able to follow through with this like 7 to 1 work schedule, but it hasn't worked out, because as soon as you create a void in your in your schedule, it tends to fill up with something else.
Go back to part one, folks. Yeah.
I've had to, like I say, I dropped a really lucrative client because I just couldn't cope with the workload. Again, what we spoke about before, I had to become strict in terms of I would schedule and do my workout at 11. I wouldn't skip it because I was so busy, and I would stop at 5 o'clock in the afternoon because I don't want to work past 5. I've scheduled time now for family and that kind of thing, and I'm making more of a concerted effort. I'm doing stuff over the weekends again because I'm not so exhausted. I would sleep all weekend if I wasn't catching up on work. So, burnout is really shitty. It's not something that I wish on anyone. So really, like we said, saying no, carving time out for yourself, whether it's personal or business related, you need to be very strict with your scheduling.
So what advice would you give to someone who feels that they are either burnt out or on the brink of burnout? Step one
is have a look at what is sucking up your time, and be very honest with yourself as to what you still kind of enjoy doing. Because if you're at that point, probably you hate everything. you hate everything. But there's something that you will hate more. So take a look at the thing that you hate the most and try and get rid of it if you can. If you can't, maybe kind of look at 2 or 3 things that you don't hate as much, but get rid of those to make time that you can do this other thing. I mean, I'm very in a very fortunate position that I could let the client go, and it hasn't really affected over the last couple of months, hasn't really affected my overall income, but not everybody's in that position. So you need to kind of look at it strategically. If you can get rid of the thing that you hate the most, do that. If you can't, if that thing is too lucrative for you, try and get rid of a couple of other little things that will make your free up time in your schedule to focus a little bit better on that one particular client.
Although if you're burnt out, perhaps you're not thinking about this, but to make space to find ways that you can get rid of the thing you hate the most, you know, replacing with another lucrative, but I'm not sure how feasible that is when you really are in that state of not feeling motivated, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I put all really super big decisions on the back burner. So, I stopped posting on LinkedIn because I couldn't keep up with it. I've got a couple of projects on the go, like the podcast. I'm busy developing an app as well. I got a couple of balls in the air. I was voted onto my board of trustees at the complex, so there was
all of that
crap as well. I must have been a terrible person in my previous life, because it's really shitty. All of these things I put on the back burner because I couldn't cope. Like, I was so overwhelmed all the time. So you need to create space so that you're feeling less overwhelmed. And quite honestly, I know that like mental health and all that kind of thing, go to the doctor and get pills, man. Like, if that's going to help you recover, I'm on a course of antidepressants now, like a Prozac. I feel like I'm on a med cruise again. And life is good. Don't let the stigma of like medication or being diagnosed with a mental condition stand in the way of proper recovery, because
it's really good advice.
You know, if you need the pill, it's essentially what it is that your brain is out of whack from a chemical perspective. And sometimes you just need a little bit of medical assistance to get the chemicals back in balance. It doesn't have to be like a long-term thing, but you do, if you need to get over the hump, do it, because it's not going to get better on its own if you don't make any changes.
Because you can see how it can become a vicious cycle, really, of, you know, you need to do something about this, but you just don't have the capacity to do anything about it because your brain is just not letting you think like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, to go back to your question, like first steps, put all giant decisions on hold. Have a critical look at your business, as critical as you can, because your brain's messed up when you're burnt out. So as critical as you can, and try and get rid of the thing that you hate the most in order to create space in your schedule. And then give yourself a break, because I think that a lot of freelancers and a lot of creatives are very hard on themselves. We always feel like we're not delivering to the best of our ability, and imposter syndrome and all that kind of thing comes into play. Like, you're doing okay. Like, if you're a freelancer and you've been doing it for a couple of years, you've got a couple of clients, you're doing okay. You're doing better 100%. Than most. So you just trust in the process. You'll be okay. You've made the right decisions up to now to get to this point that you've got a sustainable business. And you will bounce back. Well, maybe not bounce.
trickle slowly.
You'll crawl back.
Yeah.
Give yourself a break, honestly, like physically and mentally and emotionally, because like I say, if you're not going to make a change, nothing's going to change.
Well, I hope that you are feeling a bit more in control and that the trickle is trickling.
Yes. So, like I say, I was hoping to kind of live the 7-to-1 life a little bit longer. It hasn't unfortunately worked out like that, but I am feeling a lot more energetic and more positive.
Okay.
And I'm slowly getting all my little back burner projects back on. And I've got a business coach as well. And for the first time in months, our session last week is like, oh, this is the old Megan that I remember, like when you first started. Because the last few months, I mean, life happens. These things happen. You can't stop them. So you just have to kind of go with the flow. You need to give yourself a break. Even if you can't take an extended break, you need to give yourself a time during the day that you can chill be strict.
Yeah, your situation is an example of what we were speaking about earlier, where you can't be everything to everyone. You can't have everything in balance. You had all this shit going on in your personal life, and then you're expecting to be able to show up to the same degree at work, and it's actually just not possible. You know, so if you know that there's a lot going on in another area of your life, then maybe you do need to say a couple more no's that you wouldn't have said normally, or whatever it is, but just being aware of where you needed most at that time and realizing that other things might have to suffer or just be scaled down a little bit.
Look, I mean, again, burnout is not something that I would wish on anyone, but maybe it is almost like a rite of passage. I don't know if you've ever gone through like a burnout or a semi-burnout. I think so, most never people like, have.
Yeah, never like diagnosed per se, but I knew when I would just start crying randomly. So at the time I was training for a triathlon, and in the pool I would just cry. And part of me was like, no, this ain't right. I don't think you're meant to just be crying in the pool. That's not cool. And I also realized, you know, I felt so anxious and stressed about everything all the time, and everything had to be done quick, 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 because it had to be, because I had so much to do that I had to do it really quickly. And I never had time to just actually give things the proper thought and attention that they needed. And it would just felt like a hamster wheel. And I don't know at what, maybe it was the crying in the pool, or maybe it was, I was once driving and I think I was just so anxious and I was like doing, like cutting my nail into my thumb. And then I was like, oh shit, why is my thumb bleeding all over the steering wheel? And I was like, oh, that's not cool. That's self-harm. So, so, you know, like those kind of things. And, you know, also like friends saying, oh, you're never available. My husband saying, you're like a robot. And all of those little things kind of added up to me realizing I needed to make some changes. So a similar approach to what you did, I thought, okay, what am I hating? And actually, what's the cost if I get rid of it? Losing a bit of income at that moment was well worth being able to come back even stronger.
Mm-hmm. No, you have to look at the long-term gain, short-term loss for long-term gain. It's kind of like investments, you know, you put away and sometimes you're going to lose over the course of 6 months, the market crashes or whatever, and you lose a bunch of money. But over the long term, it always increases. You 100%. Will make something back over the long term. So you need to have that kind of big picture, long-term thinking. I mean, if you have to cut people loose, I mean, you've cut people loose to make space for your maternity leave. So, I mean, it's just one of those tough decisions. But I think that you also need to learn from the experience. I mean, here I was, I've just kind of coming out the other side and I get this quote that I really want to work on and I feel guilty for saying no. But maybe it's because it's still all very fresh in my memory that, like, no, you don't have the time for this. You need to look after yourself. So
take it as a win that you said the no.
Exactly. But I think that it's very easy to slip back into bad habits.
Yes.
Hopefully the lessons I've learned will stick long term, or medium term at least.
I believe in you. Another, well, it's on the top of my head, a quick tip for managing workload is, you know, before on calendar blocking. So being able to, I put my regular work in my calendar. And then if I get another project, I estimate how long it will take. And if I can see that literally there's no time and I don't want to shift things around too much because I want to make sure that my priorities are still there. That also gives me a good reason to know that I need to say no when I literally, I actually can't fit it in. So doing that has also been really helpful to me to have just everything I do, not everything, but like, you know, in my workday, a couple of personal things too. So I know actually how much time I have. And I know if I literally don't have the time to do it and I would be stressed trying to take it on.
Yeah. I do the calendar blocking thing as well. And when I was at the point of burnout was I was taking on more work than I had blocks available.
Exactly.
I mean, you do these things. I mean, it's one of those things. We've all done it from time to time. 100%. But when it becomes a consistent thing, you know that you have a problem if you are overscheduling. Calendar block, but be strict. It's all about discipline at the end of the day. Everything that we've spoken about. I think that would probably be my takeaway from this episode is that whatever processes you put in place, whatever you're going through, you need to have the discipline to make the decisions to make sure that you get to that end goal, whether it's going on holiday, covering the loss that you're not working, preventing burnout, getting better from burnout. It's all about discipline.
I agree. And I think the discipline comes from the bigger picture thinking that we spoke about. So, you know, we only have limited willpower to enact things that we want to do. But if we have a motivating factor, then perhaps we're more likely to be more disciplined because we know what we're working towards.
I mean, goal setting. I don't know if maybe we should do an episode of this. I'm really good at big picture thinking, but I'm really bad at goal setting. Like, I feel goals should be fluid. And like, as long as you're moving in the right direction, you'll be okay. Because I like to make things up as I go along. Case in point, I'm building a patio at the moment, and there's no plan. I'm just like laying bricks and we'll see what it looks like when it's done.
Love it.
And it's already changed about three times. But, you know, it'll be okay because as long as you've got the basics down, you'll be okay. And I think that's the same with goal setting. Like you need to have that long-term vision. But I don't know. I know you have to break down into smaller goals and all that kind of thing. But if it's too set in stone, like if you miss a milestone, like a marker or a milestone,
you can be derailed.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's the whole SMART, what's it? I can't remember what they all stand for. Measurable, SMART,
specific,
realistic, measurable. Specific. What's the A?
I have no idea what the A is.
No, realistic
and time sensitive.
Yes.
What's
so,
the A?
Quickly Google. So there's definitely something to be said maybe also for shorter term goals with that kind of thinking. But I agree with you. When it comes to longer term, it's not as much about a goal as a bigger picture. So with your patio, you know that you're going to have a patio. What? That's not specific. I don't know how time sensitive it is.
Achievable. A is achievable.
Achievable. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, the patio is achievable. The level of expertise in terms of how professional it's going to look is up for debate. But yeah. So anyone can throw a
couple
of bricks
on the ground. You have to send some before and afters.
I will.
Definitely some LinkedIn post fodder there. When you're back.
Well, I posted for the first time yesterday. So again, starting to think about all these things again, I think that I'm on the road to recovery, but it's a long road. I mean, it's not burnout. It's not like you just need to have like a nap at 2 o'clock this afternoon and you can feel okay. It's a weeks long, if not months long process. So don't let yourself get there. Have discipline, listen to all the stuff, especially that Shay said. I think she's a little bit better at this stuff than me.
I think we got some really good advice from Megan and she's in the trenches, so pay attention.
Cool. Takeaways from today. My takeaway, as I mentioned before, was the have discipline with yourself. Be strict in terms of your scheduling, in terms of saying no, forward planning, all of that stuff. Because if you're not, what's the saying? If you are
fail to plan, plan to fail.
Yes, but there's another one. If you are if you make somebody a priority in your life, but you're only an option in theirs, something along those lines.
I know
lines,
where you're going with this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, someone else's unpriority is going to end up being your priority if you don't have your priorities in order. Does that make sense?
It does. And I mean, emails are a great example of that. I don't know if you've read, I think it was in Deep Work where he talks about how emails are literally just other people's priorities. And, you know, we feel obliged to respond because we people pleasers and, you know, it is a helpful tool too, but dedicating too much time to your email, you are basically just dealing with other people's priorities till you die the end. So
yeah. Exactly. Cool. Your main takeaway from
My main takeaway, and maybe it's because I've got a new life in my life that I'm thinking about, you know, what really matters. So and so much that we think matters doesn't really matter. I know by the state of my house and my dog's toenails and all these things that the fact that I changed my top, but I'm still wearing pajama pants, all of those things, you know, you learn about what the things that we obsess over, perhaps, that actually at the end of the day, no one is going to be speaking about at your funeral. So I think that's where I'm at.
Something that I've spoken about it for years, but it's something that I'm really putting into practice at the moment is this going to matter in 5 years' time?
Yes.
And I suppose you can even say in 5 months' time, because time is no longer what it used to be. So is what you're doing right now going to matter in 10 years? Is the client cuck out that you're having right now going to matter in 5 months' time? Is the fact that you, skip to workout going to matter in 5 months' time? If it is, then fix it. If it's not, then let it go because life is short.
Jeez, I think we've dropped some real good nuggets here. Folks, listen to us.
We really are I think maybe we should start running philosophy courses because this shit is good, man. Like,
I'm telling you, we should write a book.
Well, thanks, Jay. It's nice to catch up and get the show back on the road. Sorry to the listeners for the long break between episodes. If you're watching on YouTube, please pop some comments in the comment section. We'd love to know how you structure your day, how you kind of handle the finances when you're going on leave, if you've experienced burnout, how you recovered. Obviously, anything that you can, any hints and tips and hacks that you can provide would be most appreciated. Yes, yeah, be part of this philosophical conversation. Until next time, Shay, thanks for taking the time, say hi to your baby on the,
thank you. And I'm so glad that you are, hiding in the straitjacket. And yeah, it was so great to chat again. And I'm so glad that you are on an upwards trajectory after a tough start. And I think it's going to be a good rest of the year.
Yeah. Here's hoping.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome.
Thanks, Jay. Chat again.
Cheers.
Follow the Business of Podcast on my website, megamillist.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the YouTube channel at Megamillist. Connect with me on LinkedIn, Megan Darcy, MEGAND_ARCY. Chat soon.